Welcome back into the program. You are listening to Sports Call on WTGZ, Tiger 95.9 FM, and on the Tiger Communications app. JJ, Ryan, Brant, and Javon inside the studio as we want to let you know about the Sports Call podcast brought to you by our friends over at Pepsi. If you ever miss Sports Call Live, or if you want to hear something again, make sure you find our podcast on demand wherever you get them. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Pepsi, that's what I like. Here we are on this fine Thursday, getting closer to another Auburn football game. Auburn men's basketball with an exhibition tomorrow. The women's team has an exhibition tonight that you can listen to right after our show goes on the air. Britt Bowen, Dr. Larry DeShera, and myself will have your call of Auburn women's basketball versus Miles College. All right, let's go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a good friend of the program from AuburnSports.com. Their very own J.G. Tate is kind enough to join us here on the program. How's your Thursday going?
It's another beautiful day in Montgomery. I haven't heard gunshots in at least an hour, and just happy to be alive.
A win is a win. A win is a win. We'll take them how we can get them. But talk about this Auburn football team, JG. It seems like they're really picking up some momentum over the past few weeks.
Heck yeah, they are. I think this is the best coaching Auburn has received in a long time, and it's pretty amazing to watch this ball club go from where they were in the Georgia State game, which was a mess, to where they have been these last couple pre-games, where they're very thoughtful, and I would argue, after diagramming many of their plays, just diabolical in some of the designs that they have, and it's very obvious this team is competent, and this team knows what they're doing from a strategic perspective. I have not been able to say that as much maybe during the last 10 years.
So you're talking about diagramming these plays. What in particular is standing out to you in that regard?
Specifically, it would be the motions, the pre-snap motions that Bobo and Harsin together are kind of using to affect defenses and get them into alignment problems, essentially, and they keep taking advantage of that. They did that three or four times in the Ole Miss game. I have one of them diagrammed on the front of AuburnSports.com, which was the throw to Jarquez Hunter that went for a touchdown, which, again, was this diabolical design. And these guys really know what they're doing, I'm telling you. Bobo, you know, Georgia fans weren't necessarily upset to find out that Bobo was going to Auburn because some of the things he had been doing as a coordinator by himself were not great. But I'm telling you, just being able to collaborate with Kisau and also Harsin directly, I think those guys together are really making a lot of sense and doing some great stuff.
Not as much conversation about the wide receiver room over the past few weeks. There certainly was a point in the season where that was the only talk of town is, oh my gosh, why are they dropping so many passes? What's going on in that regard? Have you noticed anything different out of that wide receiver group?
Yeah, I mean, they're performing. Yeah. Like you mentioned, I mean, they're catching the football. Keystyle's first game was not so good. That was the Georgia game, I believe. And they had a lot of drops in that one. Anyone, you know, anywhere from 7 to 14 in that game. But regardless, that was the theme for Auburn, was dropping the football in the Georgia game. But, man, they have really picked up pace. And in this last game, in the Ole Miss game, pretty dang strong as far as catching the football. And really, they were the week before as well. So I think it's just a matter of confidence and those kids just kind of knowing what they're running. I think they've been a little more discerning, the coaching staff, about who they're putting where and specifically what patterns these guys are running, what plays they're in for. It seems like the kids are more comfortable because they're focusing on 5, 6, 7 plays instead of just let's just run this dude out there and they can run anything. They're just kind of honing in on what these kids do best.
And Jay, with Bo Nix and his development process, obviously going into a new offense this year, as you mentioned, the play designs concepts changing a lot with this new coaching staff. In what ways has he begun to develop as a quarterback?
Yeah, just more calm, man. Finally, somebody got through to him to just calm down, dial down the panic stuff a little bit. And, you know, I think people got on his case for trying to be a hero. I think that was the thing. And ultimately, I just think he got a little itchy when people got close to him. But they've been working on that with him. And I think Harsin and Bobo together have finally gotten through to him that, hey, man, these plays are going to work. You've just got to hang in there a little bit longer. And if the situation's foobar, yeah, okay, go ahead and run. But if you notice, not much of that is happening. A year ago, there was a lot of that happening, escaping out of the pocket through the sides, which you generally don't want to do. These days, he's hanging in there, maybe even stepping up a little bit, showing a lot of maturity and a lot of patience. And, man, that's just somebody getting through to him and it finally making sense.
Jay, looking ahead to next week, Texas A&M really, really loves to run the football. What does Auburn need to do to continue this, what a great job they've done defensively of holding teams to low numbers in the run game?
Yeah, they've been terrific that way. I think that Auburn's defensive line, you know, I was kind of worried about it going into the season, but I would say that that's one of the strengths of the team. Marcus Harris has been terrific. Colby Wood, and I already thought he was great, but he's been terrific. Super, super active all the time. Derek Hall's been great. Getting TD back has been really good. Eku Liota's been really good, a lot better than I expected. So they've got a lot of individual performers there. I do want to make one point, though. Jimbo is one of those guys that I think is very good at thinking along with a defense. And so whereas Gus was on one side of the equation where I think he kind of came in with these preconceived ideas about what he was going to do to this team, Jimbo Fisher's on the other end. And what he'll do is he comes in with a plan for sure, but he'll adjust, and he'll go 180 degrees the other way. So if Auburn slows them down with some of these run concepts and Auburn's just able to beat them up front, he'll come up with something else. So going in and saying, hey, you know, we're good against the run, that's helpful for sure. But if that's the truth and they do stymie those guys on the ground, they'll figure something out in the passing game. And their quarterback, who I thought was trash, I watched him almost the entire Colorado game. He looked completely befuddled. Man, he has looked so much better here lately. I know he's supposed to be a backup, but nonetheless, he's been pretty good. So if they've got a pass, they will. And their tight end's a mess, man. He's going to be a problem all day.
And Jay, looking at the Auburn football season as a whole thus far, I'm curious to know your thoughts on the culture Brian Harsin's instilled in the locker room as well as on the field.
Yeah, so he's definitely a tougher individual than Gus was, and I think he puts up with less BS than other people have before. And I think his unity of purpose, that whole vision has really sunk in with these guys. I mean, winning helps a lot. If they were 2-6 right now, I don't know as though it would be taken as well. But this kind of the unity of purpose is what I see from this team. Haven't seen it at Auburn really since probably that first year with Gus. And he's just he's a taskmaster, man. It's just a totally different way of doing things. And when initially, you know, when he brought so many Boise guys in, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, man, you probably need to have more SEC flavor. And I still think that a little bit on the recruiting trail. But when it comes to this time of season, where you're taking your personnel and you're trying to figure out what you do best, man, these guys absolutely know how to coach. They are flat out coaching their butts off. And I think Auburn's getting as good a coaching as anybody in the country. I think a lot of what they're doing.
J.G. Tate is with us here from AuburnSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at J.G. Tate. The Heisman Trophy, J.G., is something that so many people like to follow throughout the year. Was Corral's case hurt at all this past week versus Auburn?
It was for me. I still think a lot of him as a player. I mean, he's terrific. But at this point, Ole Miss, two losses, and they had the potential to fade even a little bit more. I still think a lot of them. I think a lot of him. I am a Heisman voter myself, but I would have a hard time voting him, in first place for the Heisman right now. I think right now it's the Michigan State tailback until somebody shows me something different. The Oklahoma quarterback has been huge, but he's only started, three or four games now, so I need to see more from him.
How crazy is that running back, Kenneth Walker, I believe, out of Michigan State, to come up with the numbers that he's had this season?
Yeah, out of Tennessee, no less. just kind of like some dude, right? I mean, like, a bunch of people could have had him, and he went up there, and he's been awesome. It's just kind of – last week was the first week that I had a chance to really watch him play. Unfortunately, Gus Johnson was doing the game, so I had to turn it off, like the sound. But he just gets so carried away, I can't take it anymore. Maybe I'm just too old. I don't know. I used to love him.
Have you ever been on the Gus Johnson train?
Yes, yes. Like 5, 6, 7 years ago, I loved it. But now I just – I don't know. It just irks me, man. He starts singing a song the other day after the last touchdown from the tailback. No, I'm serious. He was like, "Hello, New York. I'm coming," or whatever. And I was like, "Bro, is he from New York? No, he's from Tennessee. What are you doing?" Dude, I'm just getting old.
That's incredible. All right, so Auburn basketball gets ready to open up their season, as we said, an exhibition tomorrow. First game on Tuesday versus Morehead State. What are you looking for out of these first couple of games?
Yeah, just getting used to their rotations. This game is interesting tomorrow because it's Southern Indiana, which is where BP got his first crack as a head coach. And I'm from that kind of area. I mean, from Kentucky. He's from Evansville, which is actually borders on Kentucky. And the people around Indiana still absolutely adore BP, I'm telling you. He's still a legend, and he's been gone 25 years from that area. So I know it's going to be kind of an emotional game for him going back against the team that kind of gave him a chance and got him out of purgatory back in the day. But as far as just the team right now, getting used to the rotations, looks like Wen Green's going to start at point guard, which surprises me a little bit. So you're looking at Wen, you're looking at KD, going to play a lot, and then Zepp's going to rotate in both at point and at two. I'll be interested to see kind of how they rotate at three. Devin Cambridge, I think, is going to end up getting that start, but Chris Moore will have a chance to play a lot, and I'll just kind of be interested to see if Devin has shown he needed some maturation, man. I felt like these last couple of years he's not been able to discern a good risk from a bad risk, and they believe that he has turned that corner, and I'll believe it when I see it. But I like to watch, and he could be an important part of this team, at least until Al gets back.
Did you watch a single pitch from the World Series earlier this week?
I watched a pitch or two, but no more than 20. I just can't do baseball, man. It used to be my favorite sport, but it's just boring. I'm happy for the Braves. I'm really stoked for my friends that are Braves fans. Lots right. of them around here. But no, I just can't do it, man.
I knew B-Matt was excited. That's why I was curious if you turned it on at all or kind of your thoughts on what was going on.
Well, he gets excited by pretty much everything, man. He took out a picture today that's like Peppermint Mocha Day or something. Like, he's fired up, man. This day is made. I don't know, man. He's a weird one, but I love him.
You're the best. I've told the guys this a little bit earlier. I'll be traveling this weekend. I can't wait to listen to the rundown with what you guys get into. I saw episode like 512, JG. I mean, this is crazy that this thing keeps going, so I'm excited to listen to it this week.
Yeah, we started back in 2013. It was very humble beginnings, I will say. But, yeah, we just keep it going. Have fun with it. We always try to have fun, man. Don't make it too serious. I think too many of these podcasts get too pensive and ponderous. We just try to have fun.
That's why we try to ask you the fun questions. Gus Johnson singing and Peppermint Mochas being amazing, and this is good.
That's what I'm here for, man.
JG, thanks for the time once again. We'll do this again soon, okay?
You guys behave.